T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Mully and Hall. Live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
1-2. Hendricks caught him. And for the first time since 2008, Sox fans will see home playoff baseball. The Chicago White Sox are winners of the AL Central.
Well, even though I was kicked out of the family, I've always been a White Sox fan, as everybody knows. There's still a lot of people that are with the organization that were there when I was there. So to come back, I mean, it's like Fantasy Island. I mean, you would never have thought that I could get this opportunity, especially with the club being this good. And here we are, the division champs.
I mean, there's been a fair amount of preparation going on already. Our advanced scouts have been on the road already for a few weeks. Our analytics people have been obviously breaking down contenders and how we match up. I think ultimately, you know, goal one right now is get everyone healthy and put them in the best position to maximize their abilities come October. But over the next few days, we'll start getting a little more specific about playoff roster and matchups and exactly how we want to line things up. But again, the number one goal over the next 10 days or the remainder of the season is let's get everybody healthy, put them in a position to succeed.
Our biggest focus is on technique and fundamentals, you know, and making sure we're disciplined with our technique and fundamentals. And I thought we improved that from week one to week two. Was it perfect? No. And I've told you guys it's never going to be perfect, but that's what we're striving for, is to keep improving those technique and fundamentals and play within the scheme, so then when guys have an opportunity to make the plays, they'll take advantage of those.
Went through some quarterback change here last year too. Some of it is the same, and that you try from all the accumulated reps of spring and training camp and preseason games to take that information in of what you think best fits that player. Obviously, as you mentioned, the first regular season start makes it a little bit different, but he's played in big games before. I think you all have seen him enough to. I think you would probably bet that he's going to handle it just fine.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our thanks to the fine folks at NBC Sports Chicago on the final call of the Sox clinching the AL Central. Miles Straw with the strikeout. That's the straw man, Dustin, that is the center of all your arguments. And we heard from Tony La Russa, Fantasy Island.
Like Fantasy Island.
I love that.
I never thought that I could get this opportunity, especially with the club being this good. And
you know what I loved is he said, I got kicked out of the family.
Yeah, he got kicked out of the family.
That.
Yeah,
you know, he still got a chip.
But I like the idea of Tony La Russa as Ricardo Montalbán as Welcome to Fantasy Island.
1978 to 1984.
A little dated reference.
That's when that series ran.
That tells you.
But it's on probably like MeTV or one of the...
It probably
right?
is.
Tony probably saw it in the room last night.
The plane.
Who was that guy again?
Hervé Villachez.
And he had some
He was
issues.
Tattooed. I don't know.
I thought he was involved in
I don't know.
What else is going
on
with that
guy? I just remember that show. Who doesn't remember that show?
All right. And you heard Rick Hahn post game. I hope Rick comes out of his shell. I'd like to hear more from Rick. I'd like to talk to Rick. I'd like to throw some bouquets at Rick.
Oh, I'd like to talk to him about the last 5 years, because it has been a 5-year plan that has been executed. I think we can say now the way it's supposed to be. This is the way you want to rebuild to go.
Yeah, thus far.
so far.
And we heard from Sean Desai on the biggest improvement by the defense from week one to week two. And and you heard Bill Lazor there. So Sean Desai, of course, the Bears defensive coordinator. Bill Lazor, the offensive coordinator, although Matt Nagy is the play caller.
One of those guys got a game ball Sunday.
That was Sean Desai.
Yeah, it was.
For the improvement.
And he earned it because that defense was outstanding with four takeaways. If they're that good against the Browns, they will win.
He called it humbling and said that everybody on defense has a share of it.
It's obviously extremely humbling and honor to receive that honor. But and I told Coach this, it's a tribute to the defense. It was all every player on that defense, in my opinion, had earned that and has a piece of that game ball.
You know what I like about him? We'll get to a lot of the Sox stuff. He is humble, but I like the way we talk about, and you've mentioned it a couple of times, teams in the NFL between week one and week two, you see the biggest growth, right? Most improvement. Yep. That was always Lovie Smith's thing. As a coach, as a first-time defensive coordinator, you saw him improve.
Yes.
It's like he learned from whatever didn't go right against the Rams in that, you know, bad night, long night in L.A. That was a rough debut for Sean Desai. He learned from that, and they were smarter, they were better, and they were more, you know, they were more opportunistic against the Bengals.
It also, I think, was a deep night, as in they completed a ton of deep passes.
Yeah.
So it was a long night in terms of them getting the ball downfield, and that obviously didn't happen until late in the game against the Cincinnati Bengals. But you did get the feeling if that game went on much longer, this was not going to end well. So
glad it wasn't an overtime,
because
that Bengals team was gaining confidence and momentum.
Right.
And the Bears were giving them reasons to do so. Thank you, Matt Nagy. But I think, yeah, Sean Desai comes out of that feeling pretty good. The defense goes into Cleveland feeling very confident. And, again, if the Bears leave Cleveland – with a victory and celebrate the way the White Sox did yesterday, then it will be because of their defense, I think.
We have a texter checking in. Fantasy Island has been rebooted by Fox.
It has been.
And I'm sure that's what Tony was talking about.
Like Fantasy Island, I mean, you would never have thought that I could get this opportunity, especially with the club being this good.
Have you watched the reboot?
I have not watched the reboot.
Well, then why did you jump in with it? Yes, it has been.
I've seen trailers for the reboot.
Has it run yet?
It has. I believe so. Mr. Rourke is now cast as Ms. Rourke. So it's a woman in the role of Ricardo Montalban, I believe. It's on Fox. Help me out, guys. Anybody else, have they seen that yet? No. I think that's far as I can go.
Dustin just walked out. Ray's head dropped down. I mean,
Dustin's listening to the Fantasy Island theme back here. That's what's going on.
Oh, is that what he's doing?
Dustin, I like the fact that when I referenced Fantasy Island being on Saturday nights after the Love Boat, Dustin knew exactly what I was talking about.
Well, Dustin literally sang the Love Boat song.
Yes.
Which was something that belongs on the air, Dustin. I mean, that you singing the Love Boat. Have they rebooted the Love Boat yet?
Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea,
yeah,
Molly.
I was making a joke.
Come on now.
It wasn't a serious idea.
That was like a Saturday night staple. I think.
Did you request that I sing the Love Boat?
Yeah, go ahead. Let's have it.
Love, exciting and new.
Here we go.
Come aboard. We're waiting for you.
No, we're expecting you. Come on.
The Love Boat.
Yes. Yes. Scooby Doo Boop Boop Bop.
Listen,
I like it.
I was one of those young.
What's wrong with you? You corrected his lyrics. I'm surprised he didn't just stop talking.
I know.
did I screw it up the lyrics again?
We're expecting you.
Oh, we're expecting you? Exciting to know. It's better.
Did I screw up the lyrics
again? I'll get a video link in the G chat in a few minutes.
I really enjoyed it.
And then I won't talk to either one of you the rest of the show, and you'll ruin my weekend like you did it last week.
I didn't say a word.
All right.
Let the record show that Mr. David tried to correct the lyrics. Who sang that? Was that Jack Johnson?
I don't know who sang that. It's catchy.
No, there was like a torch singer type guy,
maybe.
Right? Some kind of.
I really like Julie McCoy. She was a character on The Love Boat.
Oh, really?
For a lot of years, I think she was on that show. That was a good Saturday night television.
You, as a young man, had these feelings that you didn't know what to do with or where to place them.
Right.
There was something about
Julie
McCoy.
Did her poster go over the Farrah Fawcett poster?
No.
Oh, you had both up.
My brother had the Farrah Fawcett poster. I was more Julie McCoy, kind of the girl next door.
Wow, very revealing.
About the White Sox. So we talk about Fantasy Island, the reality of the White Sox winning yesterday and what that means and what that
Jack Jones represents. Sorry to interrupt, but okay. Peoria Matt is there for us as always. Jack Jones. Torch saying,
Peoria Matt is awesome.
Finish your thought. Don't let me interrupt.
No, it's okay.
I was very excited when I saw Jack Jones' name.
The reality is there are a lot of people that could take a bow this morning. There's a lot of credit to be divided and distributed amongst, you know, Jerry Reinsdorf, Kenny Williams, Rick Hahn, if you want, Tony La Russa to a lesser degree. But I don't think the White Sox are expecting that kind of reaction. I don't think they want that kind of reception to this. I think they want to have the feeling that you saw kind of on the field. It was somewhat reserved celebration. They're not done yet. They can't be done yet. That's not why Tony La Russa is here. That's not what this rebuild represented. They didn't trade Chris Sale and start the systematic, dismantling of the team to build prospects and sign players so they could win a division. They did it to win a World Series.
312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. And, David, I don't have to tell you, the Score listener line, it's powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books, download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com.
And the BetQL network's available nationwide on the Odyssey mobile app and website, over 10,000 home and auto-connected devices, and BetQLnetwork.com.
Let's start with Kendall. Kendall is in Naperville. Hey, Kendall.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good.
Yeah, I'm a lifelong Sox fan, and this has been really – really terrific. I was totally on board when the rebuild started because I remember the days of 81 and 81, and those days went on forever. And now we got a team. You can just tell the talent on our team is just superior. It's just so different than what we're used to. It's not Todd Frazier. It's Yoan Moncada. There's a different caliber of player. But the one thing that's real special about it, I would suggest, is the fact that Hahn did a masterful job with the rebuild, but he also extended the window by doing all these preemptive contracts and avoiding arbitration and getting these guys signed for, 7, 8, 9 years. Where, not to rip on the Cubs, I guess I can't help myself, but, Theo Epstein did not do that. And they let those guys go to the final year, and now the thing's over for them. And that's not going to happen with the Sox, I don't think. So, It's been terrific, and as a Sox fan, it's nice to be able to be proud.
It's a great point, great phone call, and I think that he's exactly right about the way this was structured and the contracts and the long-term deals that they locked up these stars, and it will all you'll feel that even bigger sense of satisfaction when they win the World Series.
Yeah, get Giolito done. Make sure your pitcher is back. You want him long-term, and that's one contract that's out there. Maybe figure out, right field. Maybe figure out the DA. I'm just saying.
No, you're right. You're
there's
greedy.
No question that they, having Luis Robert for as long as he's under contract, that is a monster.
Well,
that guy is going to get better and better. It was a little bit unexpected, but Andrew Vaughn was activated for the second game last night. So he came back. They sent Jace Fry down, and he had a big hit.
What that an guy, at-bat.
He's going to be
that is
a
great.
Seriously good player
great
moving
point.
Forward. That's a really good player that we haven't even, he went into a slump, whatever. We haven't seen the best of him yet. He's going to be super as the years go on.
He really is.
Aloy has barely touched the surface.
Aloy's going to get better. All these guys are going to get better.
Yes.
The arrow is pointing up.
Yes.
And I know you don't like the Cub comparison, but I will say this. The caller brought it up. The Cubs could have sustained the success longer had they done what Rick Hahn did with the contracts and the long-term deals. They won, though. Okay, so they won a World Series.
Yeah, you feel really good about what
that is. That is maybe right now the distinction. If the White Sox can win a World Series this year or next year,
then we could talk comparisons.
Well, and then still have all those guys locked up, then you're talking about a different scenario.
Well, I mean, let's see how everything unfolds.
Right.
And
don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
The Cubs had this great young team that made a move a year early, and boom, then they won it. So I don't feel like the Sox are a year early. I feel like when I look at Lance Lynn and Carlos Rodon and the way that they've won this year via pitching, I do worry about where that ends up in a few years, right? Dallas Keuchel was real good last year, not so much this year. You look at Giolito, young guy coming into his own. They had basically given up on Ronaldo Lopez, and he's now back. I don't know. Is he at the back end of the rotation? Could he be somebody that that ends up being okay for them?
But they're built to win now.
Kopech, Crochet. Right? Are these guys going to move? I'm saying that they are. They have enough veteran players. I mean, some of their best players, the pitching staff, definitely the first baseman, that you can't count on being part of the rebuild moving forward.
The bullpen.
The entire bullpen.
The entire bullpen. Okay, this is something we don't need to answer immediately, but think about, because I think it's something that I was thinking about driving in this morning. Of all the moves that have been made since the day they traded Chris Sale and announced the beginning of this rebuild, which one was the biggest? Which one was the one that you feel like, without that move, they might not be in this position now?
Do I have to answer that right now?
No.
I'm happy to.
Okay.
I think it was trading Eaton and getting Giolito. And, you know, they brought in Giolito, they brought in Ronaldo, and they brought in Dane Dunning. And Dane Dunning got you...
It's a good one.
Lance Lynn.
That's a good one. Everybody looks at the one they did with the Cubs, and they get Aloy and Dylan Cease and what Aloy means to this team. But I'm inclined to agree with you. I'm inclined to agree with that move because of what Dane Dunning became and how Lucas Giolito progressed. And Lucas Giolito's progression almost symbolizes what the Sox have done organizationally, right? They were at the bottom. They were at the bottom, and they built their way up, and now look at them, and that kind of is parallel to the way that Lucas Giolito's career has gone as well. So that's a good one.
All right, we got to get to the pick six. We got a huge show planned for you. We're gonna bring in some of the finest guests in America, but we're going to start the conversation with all the storylines, and we'll do it next in the pick six.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
1-2. Hendricks got him! And for the first time since 2008, Sox fans will see home playoff baseball. The Chicago White Sox are winners of the AL Central.
What we remember the most about either the game or the day the White Sox clinched their first AL Central title since 2008, was there an indelible image or quote or play that you'll think of in 5 months or 5 years when somebody brings up the day the Sox secured the franchise's first back-to-back playoff berths in team history?
I found it completely not a memorable occasion. It just, because it was the first game of a doubleheader and there was another game coming, I think that, you know, it was also kind of overdue, no offense to anyone. So it doesn't stand out to me like that. I got to be honest with you. The one indelible thing, the one remark that will stay with me that I will chuckle about for months to come and perhaps years to come was Ozzie Guillen saying that they should forfeit the second game. They should just go party and enjoy themselves and just forfeit the second game because they deserve to celebrate and who cares what happens in the second game. I mean, I know he was kind of half joking, but I think it was a good idea and they kind of approached it that way. That's the thing that stands out to me. It's not a where were you when moment, and I hope there is one before all this is said and done. But I mean, the last time they won the division was the blackout game, which was extraordinary, right? And you think about those games they had to win to get to that point. That was extraordinary stuff. This has just been kind of looking at the sand dial. Get to it.
Well, let's hope we look back and this is like, oh, yeah, I remember that, because let's hope that there are other bigger moments and other more indelible memories. But I think if you have to go back and think what you will remember about the day the Sox clinched their first division title in 13 years, I will think of Tim Anderson homering right off the get-go and then him hitting another one and Tim Anderson setting the tone as he so often does, and he is the catalyst. And I think that when he plays, it reminds you of just how good the Sox can be. So I think I'll probably remember Tim Anderson setting the tone. I don't know if I'll remember him hitting two home runs, maybe just the one to kind of get out in front. And then I think the quote that stands out to me is the one about Tony La Russa talking about, you know, being kicked out of the family and then being back and winning, because he has won, 13 division titles before. He's done this many, many times. But this one might be different because he came back, and this is the beginning of something that they hope is a special month of October.
Pick six on a house call for Roquan Smith.
Do you believe the Bears are ready to change the types of plays they call and create a positive game plan for Justin Fields? Will it be easier to call plays for Fields instead of Dalton, or the other way around?
It should be, but I am skeptical until proven otherwise, and I will be glad to be wrong. But I don't have a lot of faith in Matt Nagy to be able to adjust, only because we haven't seen it. And as we had began talking this week on Monday morning, this is a bigger week for Matt Nagy than it is for Justin Fields. He has more to prove, frankly, because we need to know that the play caller can expand his range and open things up in a way that isn't wedded to a scheme or a design. Let the kid play. He's got amazing ability, tremendous potential. He's got to realize it, and the best way to do that is to hands-off approach and let Justin Fields be himself. Shut down the gimmick factory. That can't be open for business on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, I don't believe that Matt Nagy is the right guy to be calling plays for Justin Fields. I think that we've seen Matt Nagy fail to call the right plays for Mitch Trubisky, for instance. And I'm not comparing those two players, but both guys, young quarterbacks, both guys with more mobility than Nagy knew what to do with. I think it should be easier to call plays because you should get out of the way. But unfortunately, I don't have a ton of faith, and I think Nagy probably would prefer Andy Dalton.
Scoreboard update.
From the Northwestern Football Update Studio, I am Dustin Rhodes, and here is what's happening. The White Sox are the Central Division champions. They will host a playoff game for the first time since 2008, and they did this by beating Cleveland 7-2 in Game 1 of a doubleheader, four home runs for the White Sox. Andrew Vaughn started Game 2 at third base. Michael Kopech started in a spot start. He threw for two innings. The Sox will be back at it later tonight. Dylan Cease will be throwing. Later on today, right here on The Score, the Cubs play host for a day-night doubleheader. 12:45 pregame with Zach Zabin. Justin Steele throws Game 1. Later on tonight, it'll be Zach Davies in Game 2. The Bears, unlike last week, they had Bears nose tackle Eddie Goldman practicing in back-to-back days. A good sign that he will play on Sunday. Unfortunately, Akeem Hicks missed with illness. That's 2 days in a row, so we'll have to wait and see where he is at later today. And remember, Window Works is the presenter of Bears Friday with half-price savings at mywindowworks.com. And we are under an hour from the 43rd Ryder Cup getting underway. The first group tees off at 7:05. And WNBA playoffs, the Sky 81-64 over the Wings from Dallas. Football returns to Wrigley Field this fall. The Cats host Purdue. Buy tickets at nusports.com.
The pick six for Roquan Smith.
Is it a good sign Eddie Goldman took part in back-to-back practices, albeit in a limited capacity? Will he play on Sunday? What kind of impact will he make if he does play? Would his contribution be enough to overcome the potential loss of Akeem Hicks, or is that not a possibility worth mentioning?
Boy, it better not be. You need Akeem Hicks, period, end of story. Here's wishing him well and good health and hoping that he's up and running. That's a separate conversation. I think Eddie Goldman could really help, and I think it is a good sign that he was available in back-to-back practices, but it was in a limited capacity. I think he almost has to play on Sunday. If he's not going to play on Sunday, when's he going to play? You need him on Sunday. You need him a hell of a lot more than you do against Detroit next week. So if he's out there with that running game you're going to face, that would be a huge, huge addition to the Bears. I don't know that he can go, you know, every play, every down, but you get 10 to 15 good plays out of Eddie Goldman, you're going to be better off than if you didn't have him. So hopefully he can be part of a rotation, and I think he has a chance to make a real contribution.
He's not a three-down guy anymore, and I don't think he ever, you know, needs to be for the Bears. He's a run stuffer, and the Browns like to run the football. This is a very good offensive line with maybe the best 1-2 combination in football running the ball in Hunt and Chubb, and I think that Eddie Goldman's presence in the middle of that defense means something. It could be impactful, so the Bears better hope he plays 2 days in a row at practice is a good sign. Akeem Hicks, yeah, maybe, but he seems to find a way. He seems to find a way regardless of how often he practices. Maybe this is by design. You hope he's okay, but if they get Hicks and they get Goldman and then they have Blackson playing at a pretty high level, they get Mario Edwards Jr. back, this is a pretty dangerous defensive line. It is their biggest and strongest position in terms of depth. So Eddie Goldman at the center of this defense gives the Bears their best shot of shutting down the Browns' running game.
Pick six.
Who will win Sunday's game? What is your score? And what will Justin Fields' numbers look like?
Well, first, Justin Fields, I think, looks like, let's say, conservatively, 45 yards rushing, 200 yards passing, ballpark. Complete 60% of his passes, 2 touchdowns and an interception. I think he's going to take a step. I think the Bears defense is going to have a hard time shutting down the Browns. I think it's 24-20 Browns. But like last week, because of the way Nagy kind of handled the end of the game, it felt like on Monday we were talking about a loss at times just because of it, and they won. I think this time we'll be talking about a loss, but it'll be feel like they won something because of the progress that Justin Fields, I think, will show. And because the Bears will be competitive, I don't know that they're going to win. I think the Browns are a pretty good team. But I think you could come out of this game losing the game and feeling pretty good about the direction of your offense because of the quarterback.
I'm excited to see Justin Fields like everyone is. I think that that he has the chance to be a little bit better than some of these guys that we have seen up to this point. I think he could get 215 yards passing, which would be a lot for a rookie quarterback. I think his completion percentage would be probably around 44%, so it's not going to be perfect. I think 55 yards rushing. I do think he'll throw a pick, and I do think he'll throw a touchdown. I think he can run for a touchdown as well. So I think I got him for a couple touchdowns. I got him for a couple of one pick, and I think I've got the Bears unfortunately losing the game. I wanted to say 24-17 or thereabout. Maybe they could get anywhere from 17-21, but I think they're going to allow 24 points in the game, and I think that I think they're going to lose the game. I think I took 24-13, just to annoy Dustin.
Pick six.
What I do.
What do you think of our guy Mark Gannis, the CEO of Sports Court, telling the Sun-Times that nothing short of a new, preferably domed stadium, either in the lots next to Soldier Field or at McCormick Place, will prevent the Bears from moving to Arlington Heights?
It seems as if that's a very good comment. Seems as if that's probably correct. You know, we saw the architect saying, you can't really put a dome on Soldier Field. That's not going to work. And we know that the limited capacity for expansion is there. So the question then becomes, who's going to build the stadium? Is the city going to build the stadium? Are the Bears going to contribute to the stadium? Are they going to come up with some plans to put it all together? And then, by the way, you can't really get rid of Soldier Field that is going to be sitting there vacant because it is a landmark and it is war memorial. So, I mean, I like the idea of building a new dome stadium on the lakefront. I like that a lot more than building a new dome stadium out in Arlington Heights. But I think it's probably a lot more unrealistic to imagine the city of Chicago helping to pick up. They still haven't paid off Soldier Field renovation. There's still some bonds that are being paid off that go to, like, 2032 or something. So
yeah.
I don't think that's realistic.
Mark Gannis, smart guy, knows what's going on. And I think we talk to people around it, as I have, and I know we know people involved. It looks like, barring a big surprise, that this deal to go to Arlington Heights looks pretty solid right now. Those were the words kind of used yesterday talking to somebody about this. And it would be a shocker or a surprise now if it didn't go that direction. We understand why. Very inconceivable to look at the lakefront and think that the city of Chicago is going to build a dome stadium or put a roof on Soldier Field, which architects this week have said is not very feasible. So I think it's a matter of when, not necessarily if. And I think everybody should brace for that reality. And the Bears are lining up investors and doing the diligent work behind the scenes and keeping a lid on the information, because that's how you do things like this and get them done. So I think it's just a matter of time.
A pick six to end the half.
Who will win at Soldier Field on Saturday? Any other college football games you're looking forward to watching this weekend?
I think Notre Dame wins. I think Notre Dame-Wisconsin, nice marquee matchup. I think Jack Cohen is going to be very interesting. Got to be some mixed emotions for the young man who's playing quarterback for Notre Dame and the former quarterback for Wisconsin. That's going to be a lot of fun. Brian Kelly makes history by passing Newt Rockne. That's a mouthful, but consider the different eras and everything, and he still has yet to win a national championship. Looking forward to that game. I think the other one I'm looking forward to, not a big slate in the Big Ten, Michigan State's a really interesting team. I think they are surprisingly in the top 20 with Mel Tucker doing a nice job. They play Nebraska. They have an opportunity to kind of gain some more believers, and of all the Big Ten games going on, I think I'm looking at that one.
You know, I got to tell you, I haven't heard anybody pick Wisconsin, so I'll pick Wisconsin just because of that reason. My brothers will be very annoyed with me. They went to Notre Dame. I think the problem is the front seven of Wisconsin against the Notre Dame offensive line. I think Notre Dame, to win the game, needs to step up big time on the offensive line. I'm not sure that I feel confident they'll do that. The game that I've circled is Texas A&M Arkansas because it fits in perfectly with my schedule. That is the time period that I have set aside that I can watch some college football. I will try to watch the Notre Dame game. I might be getting to that one late. I will be recording a bunch of stuff, but I'm definitely going to be around and able to watch that one live. So I've circled that game as one I want to definitely check out.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. We've got so much coming up. We're going to talk to Scott Merkin next. We'll talk about what it was like being there when the White Sox finally did it. They finally clinched it, and did he get as road weary as I am, and I don't even travel, watching them take their sweet time before they clinched the division. But it's all about what they did, and we'll talk to Scott next. Mullion Home Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
You know, we didn't like that taste that we got, you know, last year. So it was up on us to, you know, go out and, you know, take care of business. And, you know, look where we are now. We won a division. And we understand that it just starts here. So we're just going to continue to be great teammates, you know, keep pushing other and keep having fun. And I think we'll get to where we need to be.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is Tim Anderson. And it's always a joy to hear from Tim, and certainly a great performance yesterday. And we are delighted to welcome in Scott Merkin. Scott, of course, the kind Merkin, the handsome Merkin, the intelligent Merkin. He holds all those trophies. The best of Merkins. And he joins us on the guest hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Hey, what's going on, Scott? How are you?
How you doing? I also realized lately I have become the curmudgeonly Merkin too. So I think I think you can add that to the list on top of everything else.
Randy had mastered that when he was about 22 years old, as I recall.
Randy's just very focused. I think I noticed yesterday once again when my flight got delayed and then we switched planes from Detroit to Cleveland that I think you can add curmudgeonly near the top of that list at this point in my life.
How awesome was that yesterday? I mean, it seemed like everybody was all fired up. I got to be honest with you. It took a little longer than I expected, and I wasn't as excited as I wanted to be because it was almost like, all right, finally. It just wasn't the greatest feeling in the world. It was more of a, finally, they got here.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you see that happen where a team gets close and maybe they have a misstep or two here or there. And you know, let's be honest. I mean, this division has been over since, what, basically July, right?
Right.
I mean, I realized there was a lot of baseball in there that could have changed things, but, you know, it's not a great division, but in the same sense, let's not take away from the fact that I think we've talked about this on your show before, that it's a really good team atop a not great division. You know, I think the Indians are 75-77, and they're the second place team. So, you know, I think just the official nature of it now was a great feeling for the White Sox yesterday. They knew they were going to the playoffs. You know, they didn't know, you know, that I guess, you know, seeding was the biggest thing they were playing for. And now they know, you know, for the, I guess it's fourth time, right? Fourth time in franchise history, they are the American League Central champions.
So, Merk, Jerry Reinsdorf talked about, you know, how happy he was and Tony La Russa and everything that represented. He talked to a pool reporter. Was that you? And how would you describe the overall tone of what Jerry had to say?
It was me, and he was in he's in very good spirits. You know, I think he's very happy with the team, you know, moving forward and what they've accomplished. And it was good to talk to him. First of all, you have a chance to talk to him at the ballpark and all that, but it was good to hear what he had to think about a little bit of everything from, you know, Tony La Russa to the rebuild, the Jose Abreu and Tim Anderson, the White Sox fans, you know, which he was the happiest for, along with other members of the organization. And I think, you know, having been in the game so long, he's kind of realistic about it. He thinks that, you know, they have as good a chance as anyone to win the World Series. And, you know, if they didn't do it, he wouldn't be shocked either. And I think that's kind of the nature of the American League right now, right? I mean, I think any of the four teams that end up, you know, whoever wins the wild card game and then joins the Astros, White Sox, and Rays, any of the four, you could make a strong case that, you know, will win the AL and, you know, go to the World Series. And any of the four, you could say, oh yeah, they're going to go out, you know, in the first round. It's a very evenly matched, really good group of teams that, you know, there really is no, like, it's going to go through this team. Yeah, you know, I know Tampa probably doesn't get the respect, you know, that team deserves. They're going to end up winning 95, 96 games. But just because of that, I don't think they're, you know, the lock to be, and they were the AL representative last year. I think it's just a really evenly balanced at the top there.
You know, obviously, Scott, when we look at where the White Sox are at, we talk about the starting pitching and how they line it up for the playoffs and specifically what you do with Carlos Rodon. And maybe I'm wrong, but when I saw Michael Kopech start that game, kind of a surprise start, and then you heard Rick Hahn say they want to get him going as an opener over the next three times in the next 10 days, whatever it was, multiple innings and multiple appearances, it made me worry about Carlos Rodon. It made me sit back and not say, wow, great. You know, they're getting Kopech up and running. He's the man. It made me say, oh, boy, they must be worried about what's going on with Rodon. Is that accurate or inaccurate? You know,
I think it all feeds in together. We were talking about this yesterday in the press box, and, you know, if you can get anything out of Carlos Rodon. First of all, Carlos Rodon has been, when he's been on this year, which has been a good portion of the season, he's been as good as any pitcher, maybe in baseball, but for sure in the American League. You know, he was for a long time, along with Lance Lynn, AL Cy Young's, you know, strong candidates, and then they both have dealt with some injury issues. Lance Lynn is back, of course. And I think, you know, they're going to see how Carlos gets through his next start, assuming he makes the next start, which is, you know, tentatively for Tuesday or Wednesday against the Reds, and then judge from there. But I do think that if you can get him through even three or four innings, Carlos, healthy, that's a huge boon for your team. You know, if you're not expecting a seven-inning outing, it still makes sense because you have a guy like Kopech. But aside from Kopech, you also could have Keuchel and Ronaldo Lopez on the roster who can come in if he gives you two or three. This is all hypothetical, of course, right. And, you know, back you up with innings there. I think Kopech could become a guy like, you know, I've used this name 1,000 times, but, you know, Andrew Miller in 2016 for the Indians were not just used as a backup guy, will be used as a guy that really makes a difference, you know, if you need a guy to go 6-7, you know, to get to the back end of that bullpen, that you can have Kopech in there. And they could use him also, you know, as a guy who could start a game for you and go three innings if you're not going to get anything out of Carlos because of, you know, the shoulder sores continue. But it's still all stuff to be played out in the last week. But, I mean, it's good options aside from the fact that, you know, Carlos might not be there. Otherwise, you have a lot of options you can turn to kind of make it work even in a smaller situation, even in a lesser than, you know, full start type situation for Carlos Rodon.
Merck, Andrew Vaughn comes back yesterday, activated, had a terrific at bat in the nightcap.
Yes.
I'm curious how you see him fitting in. Does he just go back to the role that he was playing before the injury? And who do you envision being the biggest contributor in right field?
Yeah, I think, you know, if it were me and it's not up to me, I would start him just regularly. I'd let him play. I think, you know, he had this break. You know, he was probably getting a little fatigued in there. It's the most games and at bats he's played by far in his career. And, you know, we were talking about this yesterday as well. You know, I don't think he's going to get a huge amount of rookie of the year support. There's some guys who have, you know, gaudier numbers probably, but he should. I mean, this is a guy who was targeted as the team's DH, ended up playing left field because of Jimenez getting hurt, and has done a really nice job out there, has played right field. He's played second base. He's played third base with very minimal minor league experience. But, you know, I think Tony loves the matchups too. And you have, you know, a guy like Gavin Sheets, who is a good left-handed power bat. You have Brian Goodwin down there too. But I think it'll be more of a set lineup come the playoffs. And I put Andrew Vaughn out there in some role, whether it's right field or DH or whatever, you know, you want out of him, and go from there. You know, I think he's the guy. I think Adam Engel, you know, as healthy, probably is more so the right field guy. But I think Vaughn is a guy for everyday lineup.
Great stuff, Scott. Thanks a ton. I mean, you know, we talked about it this morning. There was an inevitability that Justin Fields is going to start at quarterback. There's been an inevitability that the White Sox have won this division. And you're right, goes back to July. Finally, we get on to the next step. And I think we're all pretty excited about it.
Thanks, Scott.
Yeah, and they seemed excited about it too. A lot of celebrating after that game last night. So it's a good step for the organization, especially, you know, going back-to-back with last year's playoff appearance as well.
Yeah, here's hoping there's about seven in a row. All right, buddy.
There you go. Okay, guys.
Thanks,
Take
Scott.
Take care.
That is Scott Merkin. Is that asking too much to have this just the start of it?
A little greedy. You want it to be the start of something. Yeah. And I think it's interesting to hear about Andrew Vaughn because right-handed hitter, Astros have some good right-handed starters. You wondered if they would change things at the lineup with the playoffs. Don't think so. You got to go with Andrew Vaughn. He's had a good rookie season.
Totally agree with you. All right, we got Brad Biggs next. It's Biggs time. We're going to get his pick, and we're going to talk about the inevitable Justin Fields as starter for the Chicago Bears. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.